kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me this week are the usual suspects, Chris and CJ. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, CJ?
I'm pretty good, too.
Well, that's good.
CJ still has a shitty mic.
Hey. I probably will forever. I think that's my legacy now.
Like, forever?
You really, really need to get something.
Oh, you know what? If you want, I can turn down my boost screen again. Try to help a little bit.
It sounds okay on my end right now.
You don't hear, like, it sounds like waves.
The hiss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that better? I just turned it down a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little better.
All right. There we go. Should have did that before.
I wish I knew what the fuck I did with my old Turtle Beach headset. I would just mail it to you.
That'd be better than this shit.
Get yourself a Rock Band microphone.
Seriously, just fucking use anything at this point.
Dude, those Rock Band microphones are not that bad. They're really not.
I don't have anything besides a broken mic for my 360 that doesn't work on PC anyway. And this thing. And it's broken on 360, so I can't even use it there.
Dude, hop on Craigslist. Or actually, just start hitting some like flea markets and stuff. You could probably find someone that's willing to just give you a Rock Band microphone.
Jesus, give me your address. I'll mail you a Rock Band mic. It's a USB mic. You just plug it in. It acts like a microphone. You'll need some kind of stand for it, of course. And then you'll need headphones.
No, I'll just hold
for the
it.
Audio.
I'll just be like,
we.
The entire podcast.
You gotta definitely put it on a stand.
Yeah,
but you can get it, dude. You can get a shitty stand from like a pawn shop for like $5.
The noise that your hand makes rubbing up against the mic will just it'll be worse
than this.
Oh yeah. We only know that because we've done it.
So, lots to do this week. No guests. We were supposed to have someone, but that kind of fell apart. But hopefully next week. Although, we should have a handful of guests coming up in the next couple of episodes. But for now, it's just us again.
Just us again.
And, well, talking about three people is a lot of people anyway. So.
It is. Well, hey, three is about standard.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair amount of people.
And a ton of news, ton of reviews, a lot of stuff to do. So we might as well kick this off. Is there anything you guys want to talk about first?
Well, CJ, you had something that you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah, I was going to bring up. So you know that game Super Dungeon Bros that is the new November game with gold and also released on, I think, PC. I don't know if it released on PlayStation 4.
It did.
Probably. Yeah, it's gotten shit on pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I played the beta, and I was like, this is all right. But, you know, I didn't play it that much, and it was just a beta. I couldn't really do all that much in the game, but people are not happy with it.
Yeah.
Like, what are their complaints?
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the biggest problems is that it's just constantly dropping people in the online multiplayer. Like, you can't... It's basically unplayable to actually play online.
That's never good.
Yeah, and for a game that's meant to be co-op,
like, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. That's not good. The other problem is just people say that the combat's just boring. It's just not that fun to play. And it's, I mean, there isn't a lot of variety. It's just basically one button pressing through the whole thing. But there's a lot of games that are like that, and they do pretty well. So,
yeah. It's got to be engaging enough, I guess.
I don't know. I think the biggest thing that I was thinking before I looked and saw that Steam was also pretty bad... As far as it goes, I was thinking at first it was just people that weren't interested in the genre, really. They were giving it bad reviews.
Steam is listed at mostly negative right now.
Yeah. A 5 out of 10.
Dude, like, yeah, and I had thought that, you know, just possibly, you know, people playing it that weren't really, that's not their kind of thing, you know, so it's like, it's more acceptable to be lower rated on Xbox and stuff. But no, it turns out people don't like the game.
Well, didn't they do an update or something like that where you have to own the game to be able to review it? now?
On Xbox, yeah.
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 So, I mean, granted, this is a Games with Gold, so there's going to be plenty of people
yeah,
that own
much
it.
Yeah, pretty much everyone owns it.
Seems like not people everybody. Are buying it and then bitching that it's not what they want it to be.
Well, I mean, I could see the problems, though. People are also complaining that it has four DLCs from the beginning.
It's soundtrack, though. It's just music. It is completely unnecessary, optional, different soundtracks in the game. If you
yeah,
want
I mean,
a different
I don't understand
soundtrack,
why
you can get it.
People were mad about it, but, you know. At first, I thought it was just a soundtrack that was just, like, outside of the game. Turns out it does actually change the music in the game, which yeah. I didn't know, but,
I mean,
I don't see the complaints about that, really. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get the bitching about that at all. It's optional, completely optional. It's not like brand new levels or, you know, the Broettes were a free download. The extra characters are a free download. The only additional DLC that you pay for is music, and it's $2 for a soundtrack. Or $4 if you want all three of them. So it's not like they're charging $10 here.
Yeah, it's not that I don't bad. See a problem with that.
I think another thing that people were really taken back by is the fact that you spend $20 on the game and then it has microtransactions that just highly speed up everything in the game. Like, you can get all the items by paying.
I didn't know about the microtransactions.
Yeah, I didn't think there was going to be any, especially in a paid title, but I guess that's their way of being able to make money considering they're giving it for free on Xbox.
I'm trying to look online and I'm not seeing in the Steam reviews anything about microtransactions.
I had seen in the Steam discussions that the people were complaining about microtransactions being in the game.
Do you think that was something in the beta but is no longer there?
I don't believe so, considering the thing. Yeah, there's a discussion going on in here that's like four day one DLCs, microtransactions, and a $20 price tag. And people are really mad about the about that. It's I don't understand it too much. Like, according to one of the developers, there are no microtransactions in the Steam version of Dungeon Bros that allow quick upgrades. On Xbox, there is. So I don't know. I don't know the whole deal with this, honestly, because I didn't want to play the game after it's playing the beta, just because it was like I don't have anybody to play it with.
Right.
And this is
and it's pretty heavily like on
yeah.
The co-op,
once I played
right?
the beta, I knew immediately this is a co-op game, and so I didn't really have an interest in picking this up. But I don't know. I think this person was. Thinking about the Xbox version when he was like, really, there's microtransactions in it? But still, I mean, it's on the Xbox version of the game.
Here's a comment from Wired Productions. Super Dungeon Brothers on Steam features character DLC such as the Broettes, which were given away for free to all users, and soundtracks of the in-game music, which can be purchased should gamers choose or want to do so. Beyond this, there's no in-app purchases or microtransactions in the Steam version of Super Dungeon Brothers that allow quick upgrades or pay to not grind and level up. On Xbox, there are shard packs which allow users to buy more shards and therefore upgrade weapons quicker than just collecting them in the game, but this is not something we have introduced into Steam. I hope that clears up. And again,
yeah, but like,
that's all
right,
optional.
So if they're going to add the microtransactions for like a kind of cash grab on a game that's supposed to be like that we're getting with Games with Gold, like I thought the whole point of getting Games with Gold was to not get games that were supposed to be free. Like, in most free games are the ones that have those types of microtransactions.
I don't know. Yeah. Look at Gears of War, look at Call of Duty, look at Battlefield, look at, you know, how many games out now do they have item boxes that you can pay for and then open up with keys to get cosmetics? Fucking Rocket League has them now.
Rocket League has them now?
Don't
yep,
they?
It does.
Don't
yep,
they
you
have?
Can buy, you can get crates in the game just to drop, and then you have to buy keys. Like, you cannot get
what?
To open these crates.
Oh,
so,
that's
yes,
such
there is
bullshit.
And this...
See, I agree that I think that it doesn't have a place in paid games at all, and I think it shouldn't be in these other games like Gears of War or Halo 5, Adam.
But they are, dude, and they make a shitload of money, so nothing is going to change. So complaining about this, which there's sucks. there's no content hidden behind these purchases, it's just leveling up your character quicker.
I don't know. It's just,
yeah, but that's kind of like that. That is the whole pay to win, and as opposed to like the cosmetic.
Isn't it mainly just a co-op game?
It is, but I still see where he's coming from. Where it's like, if you choose to buy this, you can make the game easy from the get go, rather than making you actually having to play and do the challenge of unlocking gear. I think it kind of ruins the spirit of the game.
That's different. Like that's different from like loot boxes from Overwatch.
Cosmetics, yeah, exactly.
All the ones from Overwatch are all cosmetics. Whereas the ones from like Battlefield and stuff like that, they're giving you weapons, things that will alter the gameplay.
I don't know. I think if you have the money and you don't have the sense and you really want to just cheat your way through a game, whatever. I won't use it. I have no reason to. But I don't know. Whatever. If it was an online versus game, I don't. Is there a versus aspect to it? Then it's shitty.
I honestly don't know.
But if it's
don't think there is.
I thought it was co-op only. And if it's co-op only, whatever, because it doesn't affect me. If anything, if I partner up with you, it makes it a little bit easier for me. So whatever, let's kill everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could see both sides of it.
I think it just kind of, like, this game where the whole point is to level up and get gear, basically. Like, there isn't much else to it. It kind of ruins the fun of it.
Well, it's almost like a modified dungeon crawler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if someone were to tell me, like, in Diablo, like, oh, yeah, pay, like, $3 and you can drink a potion where you gain, like, fucking 5 times experience, I'd be like, well, fuck this game.
What's the difference between that and having someone power level you?
I don't think that power leveling is such a great thing either.
No.
But at least power leveling, you don't pay for it. It's just it's a thing in the game that you can do.
Okay, so is this. It's an optional thing that you can do. I don't see, like, it doesn't affect me, so I don't see the big deal with it. If people are dumb enough to pay for that shit, more power to the devs for getting the money.
Yeah, I've
seen more egregious scams of money in DLC. Like,
oh yeah,
whatever. No, that's how I feel. Whatever. And technically, I mean, on Xbox, it is free to play for a month.
Yeah, it's pretty much. I wonder if they'll remove the microtransactions after the month ends and be like, well, now it's a paid game, so we shouldn't have that there.
Who knows?
That would be so weird.
I don't think so, though.
That would be so weird. I don't know. I'll give the game a shot once I download it, and I don't know. I'll play it for like 5 minutes and then probably move on to something else.
Probably. Speaking of free things, in December, Xbox One users are... many Xbox users are going to have the option to get a game for free. Supergiant Games announced that Bastion is finally hitting the Xbox One on December 12th for $14.99. But if you own the Xbox 360 version of the game, you can get the new version for free through the end of the year.
So basically buy the first one now?
And then you have two games for the price of one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I don't own Bastion. Just buy the 360 version, and then when it comes out on Xbox One, you get it for free.
Yep.
What is Bastion, for those that don't know?
It's the game with the narrator. Most people know it like that. It's from the guys who made Transistor on PlayStation and Steam. Kind of like
You know what? I know what that is, yeah.
An isometric view action RPG-ish kind of game.
Sure.
Really?
I don't know.
The game.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Well,
I'm a noob.
Google, I guess.
It was a Summer of Arcade game at one point, I believe. It was one of the games that released like during one of those events.
It was like one of the earlier, bigger Xbox Arcade titles in the time of like Shadow Complex and Limbo and stuff like that.
Yeah. Speaking of Limbo, isn't there news about that too?
Yeah, speaking of Limbo, might as well. New backward compatible titles this week.
I'm assuming Limbo is one of them.
Yeah, Limbo is one of them.
Yeah.
And Blue Dragon.
Blue Dragon?
Yes.
Is that huge-ass RPG, right?
Yes, it is 20 gig.
Jesus.
So between...
Isn't it like five discs or something retarded
three,
like that?
Three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Lost Odyssey was the four-disc one. So between Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey, and Rage, which we talked about last week on the show, those external hard drives sure are a great thing to have on Xbox, huh?
Yes, they are.
Dude, they're just swinging out with the multiple disc ones now. They're going to be 60,
six over 60 gig for those three games.
And those are 360 games, so that's a little surprising.
Yeah. So, big games coming, and allegedly, Phil Spencer said that the lineup for November of backward compatibility releases is supposed to be crazy. And it is the one-year anniversary of the program, so...
Well, if I don't see Skate 3, then I'm going to riot.
There are a lot of people speculating, because apparently a Games on Demand version of Skate 3 is popping up in a lot of regions where it was never available before.
Well, it fucking better be, because I need an excuse to actually, like, boot up my Xbox One daily. Because that was how much I played Skate 3. It was daily.
No, hopefully EA will get to it. But in the meantime, EA has a bit of news coming for next week as well. On November 9th, two games are getting added to the EA Access Vault in Mirror's Edge and Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
I just freaking bought Mirror's Edge not too long ago.
I thought you didn't have EA Access again.
I was going to get EA Access. You know what? Maybe I should... Fuck. I'm sure that the price of it already dropped at GameStop, huh?
It already did when it was Games with Gold, like, in... wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it was just recently September a Game with Gold, too. So,
I think it was September.
I meant the new one.
Oh, you meant the... Okay, you said...
Oh, you bought Catalyst?
Yes.
When?
What was that, like, a month and a half ago?
Because we, like... Not even a month ago, we mentioned that they were coming.
Yeah.
Don't you remember me talking about me getting it?
No.
No.
Well, trade it while you can, I guess. See what you could get.
Yeah, before it does go free for sure. I'm sure it's already dropped a little bit.
Trade it and put that towards a year of EA Access.
The EA Access, yeah.
Because then on November 10th, just a single day later, UFC 2 is getting added.
The second one already?
Yep. So, damn. Three editions in 1 week.
Is there even a point in buying EA games anymore? Just wait.
Just wait until they hit EA Access?
Hey, some games take longer than others. Like, Battlefront still isn't in. Although, that should be in December.
Yeah. They said that was coming, too, by the end of the year. So
That'll take forever.
That'll probably
How long am I going to have to wait for Battlefield 1?
I don't know, but you probably won't have to wait that long for Titanfall 2.
I don't know. Titanfall is a very special situation since EA doesn't really own the property, they just publish it.
Yeah.
That's true. Like, they did, like, the discount for.
Yeah, there was
EA
no
Access
discount for it. There was no trial. They originally said the original Titanfall would never enter the vault, but I guess they worked out a deal with Respawn to get it in there.
Right.
But I
think Respawn at that point was like, all right, this game's been cheap for so long anyway. Nobody's really playing it. Yeah,
The season pass is free, and we've put the game on sale down to $4. Might as well just give it to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there still somebody out there that doesn't own Titanfall? I don't even know what to say. The first one?
Seriously.
Yeah, I have the first
one. So many opportunities.
You know what game I still don't own for my Xbox because I figured it would be a Games with Gold? Rise.
I actually like that game. I got that when it was, I don't know, pretty new.
Like what the fuck? Like, when am I gonna get that? Like,
who knows?
I don't know. That's been rumored for 60 years now.
They were talking about releasing Rise as a Games with Gold back when like the Game Boy got released.
Exactly.
The original Rise on the fucking Atari Jaguar.
Yep. They're like, yo, we got this thing down the road. Don't tell anybody.
gonna be free, though.
It's gonna blow your mind.
Yeah, one of these days, I'm sure. Let's see, what other news do I have here? Rock Band DLC for the month. I can basically assume Chris is going to hate nearly all of it.
God damn it.
This week, on Tuesday, they released a 3-pack of Hootie and the Blowfish.
What songs?
Hold My Hand, Let Her Cry, and Only Want to Be With You.
I would get that pack.
So I bought the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I would get that pack.
And then today, Thursday, they released another song, Bon Jovi, Born Again Tomorrow, a song that comes off their new album that releases tomorrow, or when you hear this, it's out now. So they're getting a song before it releases.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then you may have noticed last week they did the whole Tuesday, Thursday as well. And there's a reason for that, because they are officially shifting DLC releases to Thursdays.
Okay.
That way, when the new challenges happen on Thursdays, the DLC goes along with it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Since the, like, Wednesday is like the challenge changeover day of like, oh, this is what you earned this week. By the way, thanks for not contributing anything last week.
Dude, I wasn't around.
Yeah. We're lucky I found someone new to join the crew and who just wrecked everything.
Do we have, how many people are we up to now?
Three
total?
Yeah. Me, you, and then some random guy.
Sure.
Who actually, he bought my disc copy of Rivals because he just wanted the new disc and artwork. I was like,
hey, whatever.
The Rivals code, I sold to my friend, so it's not good anymore. He's like, I just want the new disc for collector purposes. I'm like, all right, if you want it.
Okie dokie.
So I sold you the Rivals code. I sold him the Rivals disc, and I ended up paying like $20 for the new guitar.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And because Amazon fucked it up, they gave me a $25 coupon.
So you paid $5 for the guitar?
I paid
for the
nothing.
Yeah, it was $5 they gave.
Oh, they gave you $5.
Although technically I used that coupon to go towards the charging stand.
Oh.
Because,
hey, whatever.
Because the Jaguar guitar, it has a rechargeable, you could buy a rechargeable battery and a guitar stand for it.
Which is pretty.
Yeah, and it lights up really nice.
You just have to be on me and remind me about getting that fucking, the MIDI thing when it gets released.
I'll get that MIDI shit. The rest of the artists for the month, again, Chris, you are going to hate basically all of them.
Oh, yay.
Avril Lavigne.
What songs?
We don't know yet.
I don't, Skater oh, Boy.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. Just for the lulz, maybe. I don't know.
If it's Skater Boy and Girlfriend, I'm in.
Yeah. I would get that. Yeah. Or Complicated.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
See, like, there's a couple that I would be okay with. Like,
I have to go and make shit so complicated.
Yeah, I would do that.
Bruno Mars.
It depends on the song, maybe.
Coldplay.
Probably not.
I'm thinking you might enjoy the Cure.
Maybe.
Although a lot of people are thinking that's just going to be Love Song.
I'd be fine with that.
Cyndi Lauper.
Maybe.
And Fine Young Cannibals.
Why does that sound familiar?
It drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah. I would get that song.
Like no one else.
Yeah, I'd get that song.
So, yeah, crazy month for Rock Band.
Song's pretty decent. I don't play Rock Band, but hey.
You should get Rock Band.
You should get Rock Band.
I'm going to get Evolve tomorrow, though.
Why?
I don't have access to it anymore, and I actually liked the game.
Are you seriously going to pay money for Evolve?
It's $10 pre-owned at GameStop.
That's still too much.
I have
that's,
a GameStop.
That's $15
card.
Too much.
Pretty much.
I can't buy it. I don't want anything else that's cheap enough there.
Isn't it cheaper digital right now, too?
No, it's $20 digital, because it was $60 before the discount. They haven't knocked the price down, so it's like $20 still.
Oh my god. I could have sworn it was even cheaper digital, but who knows.
I don't know. If it was, I would have got it digitally, because I'd much rather have it tonight than have to wait until tomorrow to go to GameStop.
Evolve. Truth. The Evolve Ultimate Edition is $20.
Oh, what's the regular?
The Digital Deluxe is $16, and just the game is $12.
Oh, it's still cheaper to go to GameStop. And I have the pro card, so I'll get some points and shit. Yeah,
okay, but if it's used, you're basically just getting the game.
Yeah, but that's fine with me. I don't need the extra characters.
If you get the Ultimate Edition for $20, that includes the Season 1 shit.
But I have a GameStop
card. And then you never have to worry about trading it in ever again.
But I have a GameStop card with money on it. That's why I'm going to get it at GameStop. I don't have actual money.
You should buy a Rock Band, Mike, while you're there.
Yeah,
I have $10 and like 60-some cents on my card. I can't afford a Rock Band.
Ask them. They probably have one in the back that has been sitting on the ground in the corner of their stock room for like years.
Once they brush away all the cockroaches off of it and all the
urine. Yeah, just be like, this thing? You want this?
Whatever.
I wouldn't put my mouth close to that if that was the real situation.
Well, it is a microphone.
Sanitary wipes, man.
Febreze.
Sanitary wipes.
Let's see. The whole Skyrim mod differences are already starting to be significant between Xbox and PS4. I should actually... I should actually look for updated numbers. I wonder what this site is.
I'm shocked.
I'm not. And I know you're being sarcastic with that, but I'm being serious.
Yep. Yes, I was.
Oh, what's the site that had... There it is, mods. Click there. Skyrim. Let's count the differences here, because I'm sure over the past few days, my numbers are no longer accurate. PlayStation 4 currently has 417 mods.
That's a lot of mods.
Xbox One has 688.
So obviously more, because they allow more changes to the file structure with the Xbox.
Including, there's a highly rated PC mod called Falskar. It adds a whole new landmass with new locations, NPCs, dungeons, shouts.
Oh, that sounds sick.
26 new quests and over 20 hours of content. It is out now on Xbox One, and the developer said it will not come to the PlayStation 4 because of the limitations.
That is fucking awesome. I would love to... Dude, I need to get Skyrim Remastered, because I never actually played the original Skyrim. So I played it for like an hour, but I never really got into it. And
I have it on my PC, and I never really give it a fair shot. Like, there's been multiple times that I have attempted to play that game, and I, you know, for whatever reason, something ends up happening where I don't know what the fuck to do next. And then I just don't enjoy myself, and I just move on to something else.
That's the beauty of Skyrim. You can just do whatever you want next.
But that's the thing. Like, it's the first time I've played a game like that, so I kind of want some guidance.
That's true. I don't really care for games where they just kind of throw you in and just like, here.
Exactly. Like, it's still like, I go in and everybody's like, oh, well, did you do this like story mission? Or like, I don't even know where the fuck to go.
Well,
like,
there's a marker on the compass that tells you where the next main mission is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't you have to like discover the mission so that you can?
No, not that I know of.
I mean, just if you talk to someone who gives you a quest, a marker shows up on where you got to go.
And right, pretty much. Apparently I just never talk to the right people.
Well, then talk to different people.
That's impossible. It literally, like, every time you talk to a main quest, it just continues the storyline.
Yeah.
It's never like, all right, now go find somebody to get your next mission. It's like, no. It'll tell you where to go.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's pretty much never a time in the game where it doesn't have a marker for where you're to go.
So you've beaten the game. You always got something.
Oh, yeah, well, and I do remember now the one time I was going up to where the marker was put, and there was some like Yeti or like snow thing that would just come out of nowhere and just fucking haul off and kill me in like one shot.
Okay.
I had no idea how to get around it, and that was where I had to go.
Just walk a different way. Or run.
Or just go away, anything. Kill some stuff, level up, and then come back.
Yo, this thing was like, this thing was murder in the first hit.
You might have been too low of a level and you needed to do side quests to level up and then come back.
Maybe, but do you guys remember the mod size limits on mods for PS4 and Xbox One?
No, I have no idea.
The Xbox One has 5 gig dedicated to mods.
Okay.
Where the PS4 has 1 gig dedicated to mods.
Ooh.
That Falscar mod is 618 meg.
So it's that small?
So even if it was on PS4,
it would take up pretty much all your room.
Yeah.
But damn, I thought the mods would be bigger and I thought the size would be bigger for those stuff.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it, like he used some of the content from the game. You know,
I guess you're right. Like, I guess this big stuff is normally like the texture.
Yeah, you just have to tell it what to do.
Yeah, don't forget the original Skyrim on 360 was only like 3.6 gig.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I would estimate that to be at least 7.
No, it was very small.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because
that's what was so crazy about that game, too.
The game is massive, but it's all about asset reusage.
Mm-hmm.
Make the most out of what's there.
I got a little bit of Call of Duty news if you...
Oh,
I know you
Christ.
Don't care, but...
Go ahead. What the fuck ever.
What happened?
Well, it's mainly just the fact that it's going to be on the Windows 10 store and use Microsoft's Xbox Live system.
Basically going to act like how Forza is?
No, didn't they already confirm that it will not be cross-buy or cross-play?
Yeah, they've already confirmed that it will not play with people on Xbox, and it will not be Xbox Play Anywhere. It's just I just mainly found it interesting the fact that why wouldn't they just release on Steam instead of being like a Windows 10 thing?
I think it is on Steam. I think it's on both, but
it's on both.
You can't play Windows 10 in Steam either. I think that's what.
Yeah.
So it sounds like another stupid decision from Activision.
That does. It's like. Nobody's gonna. That game will be dead within a week. Nobody's gonna play it on Windows 10, especially without it being Xbox Play Anywhere. Like,
if it was Play Anywhere, then I would absolutely consider it. But now, is that the one that is bundled with the remaster of?
It's both. You can get the both, or you can just get Infinite Warfare. You can go.
So I could just get the remaster if I want.
No, you cannot just get the remaster. It's either. Both or Infinite Warfare. You always have to have Infinite Warfare.
Yeah, there's no way to get just the remaster. At least for now, until sales slow down. And then they'll be like, hey, due to popular demand.
Well, I'll wait.
Have separate achievement lists so you can stack.
Oh, big fucking deal. So there's two lists I'll never give a shit about.
Don't you mean 4?
I guess.
Could be 4, I guess.
Because Infinite Warfare and Modern Warfare Remastered have two lists. They're separate lists.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm still not caring.
Anywho. So there was a little bit of news that the Division got completely like overhauled. I don't know if you had read any of it, but they put out a new update that basically like changes a lot of the leveling systems, a lot of the looting systems. A bunch of skills. I'm actually pretty glad that they ended up doing that because I feel like it's breathing a little bit more life back into the game. I primarily played a lot of it solo, and once you reach a lot of the end game, like it gimped you hard, and it you could not progress by playing by yourself. But now you kind of can. It kind of made me realize how much I liked that game. And was kind of underwhelmed by how it was initially at launch, but going back to it, it's with these newer changes, it's really really nice. If you haven't given The Division a shot previously, now's a good time to actually give it a legitimate chance. So that was something that I wanted to bring up. Quickly.
Yeah, I heard it got updated and it's a lot more solo friendly. I might have to dive back in sometime.
It's cool, man. Like, it's just, like, the whole cover-based, loot-based shooter thing, I enjoy it. I mean, like, I knew this was a game that I would like playing, and I played it to its completion pretty much. I mean, like, there was a, there's still a decent amount of encounters that I didn't finish. But the the primary storyline and my base of operations was completely maxed out. And I was level 30.
I didn't realize that the game wasn't single player friendly to begin with, because that's pretty much how I played the game.
I mean, like, I
wound up doing everything and getting my 1,000 gamer score, finishing all encounters, and yeah, I liked it.
I did it, like, I played it primarily solo, but once you hit the end game, and if you want to keep doing like the higher tier end game stuff, you pretty much always had to play in a group.
Yeah, well, I could imagine like the incursions or what did they call them?
Incursion. Well, those are DLC though.
Yeah, well, I didn't. Some of them. Well, yeah, exactly. I didn't play the game after the DLC released. Because I didn't have the money for the DLC, nor did I have the game anymore.
Yeah,
so I was like,
Well, I bought it digitally on PC. So,
I didn't. So I don't have the game anymore,
dude. And that's the other thing too. If you're a PC gaming enthusiast, this game just looks fucking gorgeous.
He looked gorgeous on Xbox as well. I mean, yeah. I'll give it that it probably looked better on PC. Like,
oh, dude, it looks disgusting on my computer. Like, it's really, really nice. Well, because I also...
Fuck. You threw me off. It looks disgusting. What? That's not a term that's good.
Disgustingly good.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Well, it is. Because I have a 144 hertz monitor, too. And I just upgraded my CPU and my motherboard and my RAM. Like, my computer's actually pretty nice now. So I could run a lot of this stuff.
I'm on the nice computer team as well.
Yeah, dude. It runs really, really well.
The only reason I buy new games on Xbox is because that's the only way I have friends to play it with.
Yeah. There's certain games that I'll still, like... that I'm going to buy on Xbox.
Or because I'm an achievement whore, so I'd rather have gamer score rather than a nicer looking game. I'd rather just get it on Xbox and get my achievements.
Yeah. I mean, I bought Overwatch on console just to play with the couple people that I know have it on console.
God, that game's still popular.
I played all the time on PC.
Did you get your Mercy Witch?
Yes, I did. I think I got every skin, every Halloween skin.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. I saved up a bunch of coins. I had to use my coins. That was the one thing that I thought was total bullshit with this one, because like most of the time the legendary ones are like 1,000 coins, but for this event, they were 3,000. And I had like 3,000, so I wait until the very last date, and I'm like, all right, if I don't get this fucking Reaper, the pumpkin skin, like if I don't get this skin, then I'll buy it. I'll use my coins. And literally last day, like I opened up a couple loot boxes that I got, didn't get it. I'm like, all right, fuck it, I guess I'm buying it.
I heard they ended the event like an hour early, and a lot of people were mad.
I believe it, because also like you can't complete the game now because they actually added achievements that were tied to this event that are now that's now gone.
For, really?
Until a year. Yep, there are legitimate Xbox achievements for it.
I didn't look at that.
Yep, there were four.
Oh no!
60 gamer score. You can't get them now. You gotta wait until next year to do it.
See, but that's cool though, because then they'll just like bring stuff up every season.
Yeah, but what if the game eventually dies and there's not a next year and then it's gone?
That'll totally be the first game ever to have achievements you can't get anymore.
My skate achievements that I'm not going to be able to get.
Limited time achievements aren't a good idea.
Oh yeah, dude. Not to mention the fact that like some of the ones like I was about to get to with skate, like. They put them out for services that they discontinued.
Exactly. That stuff. I mean, I can understand why they have achievements in multiplayer. It's to get you to actually play it and try it out and see if you like it. But if you're going to discontinue the servers, at least within the year or two, like WWE has become known for now, where they discontinue these servers like a year after it releases, year and a half. Like, before as soon as it became Games with Gold, 2K16 already had a date that the servers were shutting down.
Wow. That's hilarious, yep. Actually.
May 31st next year, it was like, when it became Games with Gold, it was like, all right, and the servers are shutting down in May. So, get your stuff done.
Get your online experience in now.
It's like, that is a terrible game to have online achievements because they do that every. Yeah.
So what else did you have, Joe?
One more bit of news. Forza unveiled a quick sneak peek image of what we can expect in the first Forza Horizon 3 expansion. And it just showed a car and its wheel all covered in snow.
Oh, yeah! That'll be cool.
So, that'd be really cool. Winter driving is coming to Forza Horizon 3.
Oh, man.
That actually is pretty cool, because I don't know. I think snow in games is just like always a thing that I love. And a racing game, it's just so perfect.
You want to talk about a game that looks fucking gorgeous on my computer, too? Oh, my God. This is one, too. This, like, it's just, it's beautiful. It's so nice. And yeah, even the Xbox One version, like, I was very, very impressed the first time I launched that up. Like, I was very impressed. I think that's one of my favorite favorite looking games on a console.
Well, car games are generally very good looking anymore, because that's one thing that you kind of got to focus on a car game now. It's not just smooth driving.
Yeah.
Because there's so many good games out there that are racing that have smooth driving, but if you don't have a decent looking game, people are going to go for the ones that are good and have decent controls.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to compete. And I mean, look at Horse Racing 2016. The best tracks in horse racing was the snow ones. I'm serious. It looked okay in the snow. I remember when you were talking about the sloshing at the main menu. You're right about that, by the way.
Okay.
Eternal Rage did send us a review of horse racing.
Yeah. Oh. that I'll read for you all
a little later. Let's hear it. This is not an official review for the week, but...
Okay. You want it now?
Yeah, might as well just do it.
Okay.
Since
do you want the PS? I mean, the PS is not part of the review.
I mean, you could lead off with that.
Do you want me to read that?
Sure, whatever.
Okay. It says this is not a part of the review, but I am rife with guilt for having to write such a harsh review, but I could not, for the life of me, find any redeeming qualities. PPS, I am also incredibly tempted to flood Joe with LOL as a revenge for making me play this horrible game.
So she hates it too.
I got backup. All right. The Xbox One marketplace is filled to the brim with every genre imaginable. First person shooters, third person shooters, twin stick shooters, not to mention platformers, point and clicks, and rural lifestyle simulators. We even got flying soccer cars these days. But there was one thing the Xbox marketplace lacked. A void, if you will. Horse racing. Yash Future Tech Solutions seeks to fill the equine-shaped hole left...
Equine.
Equine?
What does equine? That
yeah.
Horse.
I wasn't ready for that one. Equine-shaped hole left in the marketplace with Horse Racing 2016. At first glance... Horse Racing 2016 may draw the gamers' gaze in with their relatively respectable appearing cover art and a description that boasts the game as the most fabulous and entertaining game for everyone. The description even goes as far as to claim that this game's uniqueness makes you play this game for hours. You will love to play this game again and again. In parentheses... None of those typos are my fault, for the record.
Yeah, I noticed that when I looked at the description. It was a little bit weird.
Yeah, but not everyone's primary language is English.
Understandable. Yeah. Horse racing? Fabulous and entertaining for everyone? sign me up. Or don't. Despite the boisterous claims that you'll want to play for hours, Porsche Racing 2016 struggles to keep you playing for even 20 minutes. You'll log that much time just trying to decide what the name of your horse and jockey is. Choosing your horse is a much quicker decision, as there is only one available in the beginning. Horse Racing 2016 does offer a few different game modes, including time trials, straight tracks, and hurdle jumping over the course of 10 seasons, all leading to the season finale. Each race starts with a quick time event where you mash A in hopes of convincing your horse to get a good start. Once out of the gate, you keep pressing A, and that's pretty much the race. Jockeys also have the ability to whip the horse into speeding up, but keep an eye on the crudely drawn horse head in your HUD. Overwhipping can result in the horse slowing down and eventually collapsing on the track, at which point you can kiss your aspirations for the winner's circle goodbye. Horse Racing 2016 offers up to four player local multiplayer, so you can share the, quote, game uniqueness with your friends. Unfortunately, doing so may mean you no longer have friends to share games with in the future. Unless being forever alone is your life's ambition, in which case, Horse Racing 2016 can help. Perhaps the best thing about Horse Racing 2016 is the game's release on Xbox One has started a discussion within the community about whether Microsoft should be more restrictive in the content that hits the marketplace. Horse Racing 2016 is available digitally in the Xbox One marketplace for an absurdly high $13.99 from Yash Future Solutions.
Did you not see the price of $29.99 when it first released?
Well, it's actually $12.99.
Well,
throwing that correction out there.
There you go.
So before we dive into our reviews this week, we do have a giveaway to take care of. Technically two, but the one, not really an official giveaway last week on the show. We said we had a code for Cluster Truck to give away, and we told people in the chat room to send us a message for it, and nobody did. Nobody did.
Okay.
And then after the show, Randall was like, man, I totally should have entered for that. It's like, motherfucker, you were in the chat. You could have said something.
Right.
So he emailed us and he said, I want Cluster Truck because I need shit other than Destiny to play on this new Xbox One of mine. And it's true. You need something other than the shit called Destiny.
Yeah, you do need something other than that.
So, Randall, you're going to get a game that's not shit in Cluster Truck.
Although incredibly hard with a controller.
Stop playing Destiny. Why the fuck would you pick Destiny?
Destiny's okay.
Do you not listen to our show, Randall?
For the record, I like Destiny.
I responded to his post because he was like, my Xbox turned on by itself. What happened? And I'm like, well, you probably just have auto updates on. And he was like, oh, I'm probably going to turn those off. I was like, no, keep them on. They're great.
Definitely keep them on. Jesus.
They're fantastic.
I don't know if I could deal with having to wait for every game to update because I didn't have those on.
I think he actually still plans on turning it off.
Randall, you're stupid.
So we need to have an intervention for Randall. Be like, please keep like auto updates on your console.
Oh, Randall, you dumb bitch.
I was just like, embrace the future, please.
What, does he hate cloud saves too?
Probably. He's racist.
Listen, I have had my qualms with cloud saves in the past. I was having some issues with my Killer Instinct saves between PC and my Xbox One.
The only cloud save issues I ever had was some of the Forza games, because the cloud saves are fucking gigantic.
Oh, jeez.
So I think when Microsoft was doing a stream for Forza Horizon 2 and they're like, hey, come join the online adventure. I was like, hey, fuck it. Why not? I haven't played it in a while. I think it took me 25 minutes before I could play it.
Wow.
Jesus.
It was something ridiculous. But that's rough. We have another giveaway to take care of, a real one this time.
A real one.
For Kurenaga's Revenge from Rico Technology and Badland Indie, we have two codes to give away and six emails. Wow, one just squeaked in literally 8 minutes ago. No, Souza, he was like, he was asking me when I was going to start the giveaway because he had an email like ready to go.
Yeah, he was the one that was 8 minutes after the contest started.
Actually, he is the second email, so someone else was slightly more on the ball. But this first one is a kind of a short email from Aroto Domedo. Adorable looking, this side-scroller genre is truly immortal. Winning this would be sweet. So, sweet, I guess.
Sweet ketchup.
Immortal. Yes.
Nikki, baby. Hey, Nikki, she's in the chat. How you doing?
She's the one that squeaked.
What up, girl? Yeah, she did squeak in. Like, she's lucky because, like, seriously, now, 9 minutes ago. Next email is from Ricardo Souza, who says, why I want Kurenaga's Revenge? Watched a stream of the game and got very interested in it. The ninja theme is always very cool, and the fact that one guy is an onion and the other a broccoli makes it even more fun. Even more to me, because I'm a vegetarian. And it fits very well in the 2D platformer genre with nice 3D visuals in a single plane. Also, don't letting behind the classic 2D platformer thing of collecting coins and stuff. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know either. Letting is a word that I'm not familiar with.
Translation. watching the stream, it seemed a bit difficult, but at the same time generous with checkpoints, and as you know, I love a challenging game. When the game is fun to play, it is always rewarding. Checking more about the game, I noticed it as it also has a horde section focused on combat that I didn't watch it yet, so I can't say too much, but the idea seems very cool. I actually like the horde style fight in the game. The two characters are in the middle, and it's kind of, it feels more like a rhythm style game where enemies are charging in from the two sides and you have to hit the bumpers to switch which character you're focused on, and you have to hit the matching buttons to attack the guy. It's actually pretty cool. Let's see. The game is gorgeous. I got hyped for it, and I heard a lot of people calling it Yasai Ninja 2, which pretty much is another game I didn't have the opportunity to play, but I bought that today and just finished downloading it to try. The graphics look great, love the art style, like the theme, the genre. So after what I saw so far, I'm absolutely sure that I really want this game. Thanks for the opportunity, and I hope I win this one. That's a good entry, Souza. Thank you.
Yep, I'm gonna mark that as has enough money to buy the first one, but not the second.
Well, I think
I'm putting it down as just vegetarian.
So did I, actually.
I put it down as gross.
Ooh.
Next email from Billy P, who says, I've been looking for more co-op platformers to play with my brother, and this looks like one we'd both enjoy. As always, thanks for the chance. If I don't win, I'd still like to know of any co-op platformers on Xbox One you might recommend. So do you guys have any good recommendations?
Co-op platformers?
Rayman Legends.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Rayman Legends is really good.
What chances are you played that when it was Games of Gold? Battle Block Theater on backwards compatibility is also probably the best one ever.
That's a fantastic game. I'm trying to think of what, like, traditional style platformers.
Yeah, it's hard to think of ones that are, like, co-op that aren't, like, beat up your...
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many brawlers.
Yeah.
I know it's not platforming. I'm just gonna say Castle Crashers. You should just get that forever.
Yeah, that's kind of like one. It's like a 2D, 2.5D.
It's a
brawler. It's a beat 'em up brawler. But I'm still throwing that suggestion out there.
Yeah, I can't really think of too many specific platformers.
No, I was gonna say one, but that's not co-op. So I'm not...
Okay. Rayman Legends is like the first one and only one that pops into my head.
I'm sure there's others, but we're old.
And there's a lot of games. I'm you can't old. Expect there's us to remember dying. Them all.
We're all old.
I'm not.
Yeah, fuck you.
Next email is from John Powers. He says, hello again. Sorry I never got back to you about Kill All Zombies. Turns out they never updated the game to make the Twitch functionality work. Oh, that's a bummer. I am interested in Kiranaga's Revenge, though. I was one of the few people I know who enjoyed Yasai Ninja. I would like to try this game out as well and actually tell other people it's not as bad as everybody is saying. Granted, it could be, but I like to keep an open mind when it comes to games. Also, of course, free achievements never hurt. I'm actually, a lot of people seem to be enjoying Kiranaga's Revenge, so I'm happy to hear about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what he means by that. I thought you had said last week that people were actually positive about this one.
I mean, I did see, like, the one site out there gave it a fairly negative review, but for the most part, it's hovering around sixes and sevens, which, you know, the first game was getting trashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like at least 2 to 3 that they were.
I'm happy to see people legitimately enjoying this game, so. Next email from Daniel N., who says, I want to win Kiranaga's Revenge because it's one of those 2D-based games that has lots of platforming, action, and puzzles, some of which may want you to bang your head against the wall and throw your controller at the screen. So, broken TV.
Is it actually that hard, though?
I didn't think. But who knows? Maybe later in the game it gets really tough.
Who knows? Yeah.
Final email is from Nikki Baby. What's up, girl? Who says, I would love to win Kiranaga's Revenge to make my cat Zipper's modeling career a reality. Yes, this makes no sense. However, fighting vegetables don't either. And here are some of his modeling shots. Thanks for the chance. Hi, by the way, it's been forever. Well, looks like I have to switch view on here.
We got cat photos?
Yep.
All right, remember last week when we were talking about there's easy ways to, like, kiss ass that aren't, like, really blatant and obvious? God. This is one of them.
trying to center the cat.
There it is.
Why is it this looks like a so mini blown lion. Up? I gotta shrink this. What the
I'm
fuck?
I'm still waiting for it to come up.
I mean, it's already up.
What the hell?
Is your stream behind?
It's probably, yeah, let me refresh
it. There's the first one. I'll wait until
okay.
You're...
Okay, yep, I got it.
You see the cat?
Yes.
Wow, that is... That looks like a lot.
What's up with
like
the whiskers? That is so long.
And they're white. So different.
It's a cute cat. Oh, it's a fat cat, too. Look how fat that cat is.
I don't think it's fat. I think that fur is just super long.
That is really long.
I am jealous like of that. The plushies.
Have you been watching set. The new episodes, dude?
Yes.
I have.
Oh my God, they're ridiculous.
A full set of South Park plushies. And the
dog.
I like
that the dog is there.
Oh my Lord. So
and that Saints Row 4 collect, like, is that a collector's edition behind that?
Oh, did you get fucked on the headset like I did?
No, that looks like Saints Row 4.
That's what I said, Saints Row 4.
Oh, that's the one with the Gat, right? The Gat statue?
Well, it depends on what version you got. I can't tell which one that is.
I know it's not the one with the dubstep gun.
I know it's not the one with the giant glass case. Is it?
It's the game of the generation.
That is the one with the giant case.
Yeah, it's the one with the case.
That box looks so much smaller than mine.
Yeah.
Unless that box? Cat is gigantic.
That cat is fucking ginormous then.
Because I know how big that box is, and that box does not look right.
The cat is huge.
So,
there you go.
We have tough decisions to make here.
Really?
Because
I already
codes.
Know my decisions.
Yeah, I can see mine too already.
What are your guys' votes?
Mine is vegetarian and the cat.
Oh, mine was the same one. Souza, Nikki Baby.
Yeah.
I can't argue with them. So Souza, Nikki Baby, congrats. You two win Kiranaga's Revenge. And they're both hanging out in chat. So
they're both in chat.
If you want to claim this is rigged, come to chat next time and state your case. But
exactly.
Hey, you know, third place, I'll give third place that doesn't actually get anything, that co-op part. Platformers thing just because they gave us something to say. So there you go.
True.
Truth.
You get like bonus points that don't mean anything.
Oh, there's a cat in the bed now.
And the camera's like moving all over the place.
I'm trying there to, it is. Trying to. God damn this cord.
This is way more entertaining than it should be.
You just see a bunch of empty pop
soda
cans.
Soda cans. They're full.
There's most Bean. Full. Ah, god damn it. God damn you, fucking.
The struggle.
I just hear the can like drop, like, god damn it. And hear another one drop. Ah, god damn it.
This is ridiculously tough to set up.
The cat cam.
This fucking clip sucks too. A little display clip.
You just need like a USB extension or something.
There we go. There's a good look of Bean.
It's a cute cat.
Beanie weenie.
Is it just like slowly dropping?
Probably. Yes, it is.
just watching it just slowly pan down.
Oh, God. So, we gave those away. So, it is time for our reviews of the week. Got a handful of them. Our big one, our featured game of the week. This is fucking cool as hell to say. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
That's crazy.
Developed by Dimps, published by Bandai Namco, released October 25th for $59.99. A season pass is also available for $29.99. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 builds upon the highly popular Dragon Ball Xenoverse with enhanced graphics that will further immerse players into the largest and most detailed Dragon Ball world ever developed. This game is cool as shit. You start off the game by designing your own character, your own special. I like how I'm being called a lucky cunt.
No, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking about Souza. He won it yesterday.
Oh my god, Souza wins fucking everything. Jesus. Oh my lord. So, Xenoverse 2 is a fighting game, kind of mixed with an MMO a bit.
Interesting. I'd never played the first one, so.
Yeah, you start off by creating a character. Decent amount of creation options. I'm sad they didn't have any full beard, so I had to go with a goatee in the game. But they do have a bald head, so I went with that. You start off as you are part of, like, the Time Defense Force or something like that. I forget the name, like Time Pilots, where your job is to go back and protect history from being changed. So the game, the main meat of the game is traveling back to specific parts of the Dragon Ball history and making sure that those battles and those fights happen the way they should. So this is like fan service out the ass.
That actually sounds fucking awesome.
It really is. Visually, the game is absolutely beautiful. I've always been a fan of cel-shaded visuals. And this game, just in general, is a gorgeous, gorgeous looking game. Beautiful, bright colors. The music's fantastic. And the gameplay, it just, I love the fact that the meat of the game takes place in like an open city where other players will be running around. You could walk up and you could like use emotes and you can challenge other people to fights and battles and you could team up. It reminded me a lot of how social Phantasy Star Online was, where it had like a hub world and then you could partner up with people and go off into battle.
That's fucking awesome. I didn't know that the Xenoverse game. I guess the first one was
the first one was really well received. Like that's like I was still working down at the video game store in Wilkes-Barre at the time, and people were just ranting and raving about that game constantly.
I didn't know
we never had any on the shelves, and when we did, like it was, you know, they didn't stay long.
I can believe it.
What did you say, CJ?
I didn't know that they would have like that MMO aspect of being able to just play with people and see them.
I know. I was honest. Like, I wasn't exactly too sure what the game would entail, because I know a lot of the older Dragon Ball games, it's basically just, you know, one-on-one fighting. I tried a bit of the first Xenoverse. I didn't get too far into it, which is a shame because apparently you can import your hero from the first game into the second one. And they will be, like, there will be a statue of them in the city as, like, the defender of the world or whatever it was.
Wow.
Plus, you could carry over a lot of your abilities as well, which really, really cool for people who've beat the first Xenoverse. So if you haven't beat the first one, go finish that one up first and then pick up the second. Gameplay is, for the most part, a lot of the battles will be, like, one-on-one battles, but it could easily devolve into, like, group-on-group warfare of, like, you and three other people fighting four or more AI. I think the one AI battle, I was fighting, like, seven or eight different monsters at once. I mean, they were all kind of, like, grunt monsters, but it was, right, it was cool as hell to, like, do a super special attack and see my KO counter go up by, like, five. Just fast, intense, and because it's Dragon Ball, 99% of the battle, you're just flying around.
Yeah, I remember that in the Budokai games.
Yeah, thankfully there is enemy lock-on, so if you lock on to an enemy, anytime you start flying in a direction, you start flying towards them. Tons and tons and tons and tons of special moves that you can unlock through the game. There's a ridiculous number of moves and abilities that you can unlock through the game. Plus, RPG-wise, you're leveling up after battles, and you can customize your character by, you know, putting attribute points into, you know, your physical strength or your special ability powers or more health, more ki, more stamina. It's very customizable so that you can play the game you want to play. And because it has that RPG element to it, the game itself is just massively open-ended where you can do so, so, so much shit in the game. There are constant side quests to do, different characters that you can train with, side missions, of course, the story quests to go along with it. For the $60, there is just a ridiculous amount of content in the game. If you are a fan of Dragon Ball games, you probably already have this, so I don't know why you're asking. But the game is very welcoming to newcomers, even if you're not, like, you're not an anime fan or a Dragon Ball fan. If you're just looking for a solid fighting game with tons of content and tons to do, it's very receptive of people who aren't familiar with the Dragon Ball universe.
That'd be surprising, considering you're going back in time and doing those fights.
Yeah, but the way it handles everything is it doesn't talk to you like you need to have watched the entire series. If you just saw the picture in the store and you're like, wow, this looks like a neat game, and you like fighting games, you're going to have fun with this. So, all right. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, I am giving it a buy it rating for sure. Really, really cool stuff, and I might even pick up the season pass.
Fair enough.
Awesome.
And if you go on the store right now, they have free DLC for Steve Aoki to be the DJ in town.
Oh yay!
Okay. I didn't.
Get to be a playable character?
I don't know. That'd be cool if they did.
Sounds ridiculous.
Susan in chat says the gameplay on Xenoverse is very good. It has tons of combos, powers, but they don't make it feel complicated. Exactly. It's like I said, it's very welcoming to newer players. So it eases you in fairly well, and there's just so much to do in the game. It feels more like an RPG with fighting game battle systems than it feels like a fighting game with RPG elements.
That sounds cool.
It really is cool. I'm thrilled that we got to cover this one, and I definitely recommend it to everyone out there.
Well, that's awesome, because I don't know. I remember playing like the Budokai series with a friend on, like, not even online, like locally, and I'd had quite a bit even of fun, even though I was getting my ass kicked because I was terrible compared to him. Those games have always just been kind of well-made in good gameplay.
Hey, CJ.
Yeah?
No one cares.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
All right. Next game to chat about is called Snow, developed and published by Poppermost Productions. It released on Steam Early Access October 10th, PS4, I don't want to say open beta, but kind of a closed-ish beta state in general, October 25th. It will eventually release as free-to-play, but it is currently a paid beta on the PS4 with a Founders Pack available for $19.99, which gives you access to the current beta as well as a full snowboard and skiing outfit, snowmobile unlock, golden snowmobile, and a golden drone. Both the Steam and PS4 versions will have multiple paid DLC options as well with items and in-game credits. Snow is the only free-to-play open-world winter sports game. Explore a massive mountain, customize your character with clothing and equipment from the biggest brands, and compete in events to be the best. Chris, you got your hands on this on Steam, so what are your thoughts?
Let me start by saying that I really wish that I had a fucking VR headset, because when I booted it up, it's like, do you want to run it in regular mode or do you want to run it in Oculus VR support? And I'm like, ah, fuck, that would be awesome. Like,
that's neat. I wonder if they'll add VR to the PlayStation
version. The PlayStation. Yeah, as soon as you said the PlayStation version, and when I was going through and I was playing it, the menus that it was popping up for the tutorials, it showed a PlayStation controller, which I'm not used to seeing that. That kind of threw me off my game a little. But yeah, as soon as I realized, like, oh, they're probably really supporting this on PlayStation, I wonder if the PlayStation VR will see some support. So I actually hope that that's the case. The game has some issues, obviously. I mean, it's not fully fledged out yet, but I think it's in a really... I think it's in a pretty good place right now. The controls can seem a little... I don't know. It takes a little bit of getting used to. It kind of almost has a similar setup to almost like skate-ish, where you have to push off or kind of crouch if you're snowboarding. Primarily between snowboarding and skiing, I picked snowboarding.
Yeah. Shocking. But, Shocking.
But I mean, some of the courses can be, I don't know, they could seem a little simplistic. The free roam aspect of it and the mountain sizes are fucking huge. They're massive. The first thing that I ended up doing after finishing the tutorials, I just went down the mountain as long as I could. and it took a while. And there's like multiple paths that you can go down. You know, you'll end up bumping into different lift points. That's actually how you unlock a lot of the stuff in the game, where you just pick a lift point and just go down the mountain, finding spots and like save points and lift points that you can just spawn at later on down, you know, the more and more that you play it. There are events that you can do. That's primarily what I've been doing, just because like hopping into the free roam, while it can be a lot of fun, and that's like the primary reason why I continue to have like go back to this, is just to kind of hop in. I'm just going to relax for the night and just kind of veg out. You can just kind of hop in and just roam. Like the idea of being able to free roam on a mountain, you're literally snowboarding as if you were just snowboarding, you know, down a mountain. It's not like, hey, go through this checkpoint and go down to this thing. It's just, no, just go do your thing. Do whatever the hell you want. And you can gain experience by doing so. It's not a complete waste of time. So what you can do is, like, as you're going down the mountain, if you, you know, do some tricks, once you end up getting to some of those, like, lift spots of the save points, you can bank that stuff and then continue on down the mountain. I haven't been able to mess around with the snowmobile yet. I mean, I don't know if, like, the code that I got was supposed to include, like, some of that other stuff, but I didn't see it. It could just be like some of the menu systems are a little goofy. So
yeah, I wasn't a fan of the menus on it. It seemed very clunky, and a lot of times I would click on things and it wouldn't register.
Yeah, I mean, I used a controller to play it just because that's what it looked like was suggested.
Yeah, it is suggested, like, on the page, a controller strongly recommended to play Snow.
Yeah, so I ended up using my my Xbox One controller. And there were some things that, like, there were some things that it didn't really translate well, like some of the flips, some of the rotations, like the trigger rotations. I guess it's some of the physics of it are a little goofy. And even just like if you're trying to grind down a rail, the collision detection for it can get a little sketchy. But overall, I mean, like, the levels are really, really nice. It's a gorgeous looking game for, you know, it's not getting like a ton of development on that end yet because it's still in beta. I'm sure it'll end up looking that much better once it's like polished and like 100% ready to roll. I'm normally not. How much is it for the? Oh, it's technically free to play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Steam.
Yeah.
The founder pack on PS4 is $19.99.
So I can't say that I would absolutely like. Can't say that I could really recommend the founder's pack, but with it being free to play, like, I would absolutely download this and play it for a little while. You'll probably end up finding some things that you end up enjoying. There were some points in certain mountains and in levels that were really, really frustrating that, like, didn't really make a lot of sense to me. But
so
there are
basically no pulse in chat should grab it and try the Oculus. Or the, does it have Vive support?
I don't know. I think it said Oculus when I went to watch
it. It does say Oculus on the actual store.
He's a Vive guy.
It doesn't
guy.
Say that the Vive is a headset that's supported.
Yeah.
Sorry, no pulse.
Yeah. But I would love to try and see if we can find somebody that has one of those and get their opinion on it, because I feel like that game would be fucking awesome with a VR. Like, absolutely incredible with a VR.
I worry about the locomotion aspect. Like, if you're wearing the headset and you're the one going down the hill, like, later on this weekend, I'll be doing a VR heavy episode. And one of the games to talk about is called Windscape. And,
oh, is that same one that I reviewed on Steam?
I don't think, or no, not Windscape, Windlands.
Oh, I was going to say, because, yeah.
Windlands is like a first-person grappling hook exploration game. And I personally needed to turn on, like, every different comfort setting possible to be able to play the game for more than 5 minutes.
Comfort setting?
Like, they would put, like, a solid grid orb around you just so you have, like, a stationary item that your brain can kind of focus on.
Oh.
Like, it's tough to describe to someone who hasn't played it in VR, but...
Yeah.
The fucking potential for motion sickness is insane, and I can only imagine what that would be like...
Dude, with snow? That's why I want to see, like... You know, I want to talk to somebody that can potentially do that, because you just think of, like, launching yourself off of a fucking jump and just, like, spinning and rotating all over the fucking place.
You need to come up here, you need to try Windlands, and you need to just take a run and a jump and see what your stomach does.
Oh, no.
It is...
As soon as I fix my car, which hopefully will be in the next couple months, yeah, I'll be down for that.
By the way, Nikki sent us a picture of her cat with her sadly passed on dog, just to show how fucking huge that cat is.
Dude, that cat is fucking huge.
Needs banana for scale.
If you look, there's a Coke. What is that? A Coke 24 pack or whatever?
12 pack.
One of the long boxes. All right. Yeah, that cat is like the size of one of those long boxes.
That is a monster.
That is a big
fight. I think that puts Piddles to shame.
That's a big cat.
That dog's also pretty fat.
Yeah.
Adorable dog. Sorry for your loss, Nikki. Lost pets suck.
But anyway, with Snow, I would say you can't... Because it's technically free to play, I feel like this falls under the fuck it, why not, but like not as a bad fuck it, why
on,
not.
On the Steam version. On the PlayStation, I'm going to chime in a little bit here.
Okay.
I didn't feel like a very big sense of speed in the game, and I don't know if it's like that on
It's not on that Steam fast. It's not that fast. Like, I found myself pushing constantly.
Yeah.
And but it also depends on it depends before. On the mountains. Like, I have noticed, like, there was one run that I did earlier today that was like I forget what fucking section it was, but it was like a freestyle or slope style kind of thing. And it was just like well-designed jump after well-designed jump after well-designed jump. And as long as you're landing properly, you'll keep your momentum going, and it felt good. But I do agree there are certain mountains and certain like portions of the game where like if you're not carving properly or if you're not like you really do have to approach it like you're on a fucking snowboard,
yeah,
or a ski.
Like, and then it's still beta, so this stuff will clearly get fixed. But there were a lot of times where I would like grind something and then I would tilt off to the side and then I would just be completely sideways.
Yeah, like I said before,
still straight up on my snowboard, but my snowboard
was sideways.
Sideways, yeah. So
yeah, yeah. Like
funny,
the collision detection and stuff, and some of that stuff is still a little sketchy. But I don't want to go as far as to say it's Skate like because there are a lot of things that I feel like Skate obviously does a lot better. But I can see some of the comparisons. It gave me a slight nostalgia back to Amped, just for a little bit.
Goat Simulator snowboarding game. Oh my god!
I wouldn't go that far. I feel like it's slightly more polished than Goat Simulator.
I'm kind of bummed you're not up here anymore because Mark McMorris, Infinite Air just came out and. People are calling that like the Skate of snowboarding games.
You know, I've been hearing that, and it was as soon as I actually started playing this, I saw an advertisement for that game, and I was like, oh, maybe I should look into that. Like, do you have it? Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Does it play like you? Play
I just Skate I got it earlier today, so I haven't had time to fire it up yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I might look that up a little bit more. I just kind of, you know, I just want something to hold me over until they fucking release Skate. I just want Skate.
Yeah, but hopefully next week on the show, I'll have a review for Infinite Air ready. Again, I just got it today. There was a delay on it because they were working on a patch for the Xbox One, so I haven't had time to get into it yet, but hopefully next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So, Chris, are you sticking around anymore, or what's? I know you were busy today, so figured I would find out.
If at all possible, I could potentially dip out. That would be wonderful.
All right, just didn't know if you want to hang out anymore or not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do still have to get some stuff prepared for tomorrow. I have a show up in New York, so.
I
think I have to leave a little bit earlier too, so I didn't even read my advance yet.
Fun.
No, I know.
All right, so get the hell out of here, Chris.
Okay, bye. Bye, guys, bye.
See ya.
All right, next games to talk about, our friend Jacob Garner sent in, he was tasked with two iOS games, a lot of G's, The Platform Puker and Not a Clone, and he actually added two more reviews of his own, so what the fuck ever. Let's take care of these. The first game, like I said, is Egg, The Platform Puker, developed and published by Hyper Games. It released October 20th on iOS and October 27th on Android for $1.99. Egg, The Platform Puker is a ridiculous two-touch platform game about vomit. Gilbert has an extreme allergy to eggs. Eating them will literally make him vomit like a fountain. He escapes from his mean Aunt Doris in order to get a birthday party and needs to use his vomiting superpower to survive a world of angry cyborg chickens, of course.
This game already sounds ridiculous.
It does. Jacob writes in, the first game I'm going to review today is Egg, made by Hyper Games. It's a platform game in similar vein to Super Meat Boy. You play a boy who moves about by throwing up and using the vomit to move up walls, hang to ceilings, etc. It's revolting, gross, and an absolute delight to play. I found the game to be a lot of fun and a bit challenging due to playing on a tiny iPhone 6S. Like any kid, your character doesn't stop moving. You can only change the direction, left or right, by tapping on the respective sides of the screen, or jump. The controls are simplistic, as you tap the left or right side of the screen to move in that direction, and then hit that side of the screen again to make your character jump. The game walks you through new powers, giving you plenty of time and a couple of situations to ease you into new mechanics as they are introduced. Take some time to get used to this control scheme, and I found myself struggling for a minute each time I picked up the game again. You get the hang of it pretty quickly, but the controls make certain puzzles difficult. I'd love to see this get ported to a console in the future, as I feel like this game would really benefit from using a controller. The art stands out, looking like a mix of Adventure Time and Yellow Submarine. Definitely worth picking up. It's a fun challenge, and I highly recommend it for iPhone users and Android. I actually played it on my iPad. Because I have an older iPad mini, it kind of runs like butt, but I'm glad it was supported. It did crash on me a few times, but again, I have, like, the original iPad mini, which is...
Okay, so basically 20-year-old system.
Yeah, it's on par with how shitty my computer is. I have that shitty of an iPad.
God, why does everything you own have to be so shitty?
Because I instead spend money on games.
I understand that.
Next time I upgrade my phone, chances are Verizon's probably going to completely get out of the Windows Phone game, so I might go back to iPhone, but we'll see.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Windows Phone isn't exactly popular.
Yeah, sadly, because I really, really, really like my Windows Phone.
I would prefer a Windows Phone, too, but...
Next game is Not a Clone, developed and published by Omiya Games, or Omiya Games, released on iOS and Android October 13th for $3.99. It was originally a game that required iOS 10, but they recently pushed out an update enabling older devices to play it. I originally couldn't download the game at all because my iPad mini doesn't support iOS 10. So they recently pushed out an update. My iPad was having issues downloading it, so I don't know if it was an issue with the store or my iPad, so I personally haven't gotten time to play this one, but Jacob did. What if you were given a backdoor pass to a site filled with the hottest mobile games currently climbing the charts? What if just by playing the games well enough, you were able to earn money to buy even more games? Would you jump at the chance or let it pass? Not a Clone is a frantic exercise in quick thinking and even quicker responding. Jacob says there are a bunch of different mini games included, and the more you play, the more money you earn to unlock more games. There's some original games in here, but the bulk of the titles are parodies of hot mobile games like Flappy Bird, Fruit Ninja, etc. The further you get into the game, the faster the games play, and you eventually run out of lives, which are shown as the battery of your cell phone. The game borrows or clones the concept of WarioWare games, and despite being simplistic and challenging, the game didn't do a lot for me. You really have to play the game a lot to earn some of the minigames, but the game unfortunately wasn't interesting enough to keep my attention. While it's fine for a short period of time, there isn't enough for me to keep coming back. It's a decent diversion, but the irony factor gets old quick. I can't really recommend the game, but I should mention that Omiya updated the game at least once during my review period, so it may get better as they tweak it more. They are looking at releasing a PC version of this later on, and you can go up on their website to download a demo to check it out for yourself. It's not a bad concept, but there isn't a lot of replayability beyond the first time you put it down. So it looks like $3.99 is kind of like a hold off for now and see if they throw out any kind of good updates for it or not.
Yeah, I could. That's fine.
It sounds interesting. I hope it downloads on my iPad so I could give it a go, because I love the WarioWare games.
Or, if, like he said, if there's a demo on PC, I'd probably just wind up playing it there.
Yeah. And then he also adds in two reviews of his own, which I didn't ask for, but fuck it. He wrote it. I'm going to read it. Blocko is a minimalist puzzle game by Galactic Thumb. Joe didn't give me this one to review, but I got it for free through the Starbucks app. Get it while you can, otherwise shell out 99 cents. The point of the game is to get the red block to touch the blue block. Ooh, touching tips. The red block is the only one that can be moved, and you'll need to consider your moves ahead of time, as the puzzle will restart if the red block flies off of the screen. The game slowly introduces new ideas to you, such as using wall corners to move in different angles, certain empty blocks which allow you to move in four directions, but it gets frustrating fast. You'll find yourself agonizing over puzzles for 20 minutes, only to come back to it the next day and solve it on your first try. Oh, so it's like every puzzle game in the world. When they say it's minimalist, they mean it. There's no music, the visuals don't change except to introduce new blocks, and well, it's just a bunch of blocks. It's a great time killer, and I definitely recommend checking it out. It's not the greatest puzzle game out there, but for the low, low price of free, it's definitely worth it.
Or 99 cents. Like, yeah. That's not bad either.
But get it while it's free, if it's still free. I don't know. So.
And it's really free if you... Oh, wait, it's Starbucks app. I was going to say, do you have to, like, buy a cup of Starbucks to get in?
I don't know. Go buy $14 coffee to get a 99-cent game.
Some people like that $14 coffee.
True. I don't know why. And then he finishes with Lifeline is a nice text adventure from 3-Minute Games. I forget how I stumbled on this back in spring, but I'm glad I did. I didn't even know there were text adventures on the iPhone, but shoot, here we are. The game has you picking up the distress signal of the lone survivor of a starship crash, and you decide the character's actions by choosing one of two responses that you are given to different situations. Situations take about 3 minutes, get it, to read and respond to, and then the game lets you do whatever, as the in-game character is taking care of their own tasks, like finding food, exploring a wreck, etc. If you want to think of it as the conversation system in Mass Effect or Skyrim, it's similar to that. It's a text adventure, so there aren't any graphics to speak of. I guess that's the game's icon on the home screen is nice. But the ambient music adds a nice touch. A cool feature that I wish I could have tested out is the game works with the Apple Watch, notifying you when the in-game character is ready to talk to you again. If you're playing the game as you're supposed to, it should take you 3 days to complete it, but I ended up stretching it over a week. It's a good game that you don't have to think about. You play it when it's convenient to you, and you'll get a good story to boot. The only issue that I had with the game is that the finale is not in a 3-minute chunk, and I didn't realize I could stop the game mid-conversation without losing my progress. The finale takes a good 15 to 20 minutes. I was almost late to work in a mad rush to find out what was going to happen. If you like a good text adventure, Lifeline and its subsequent offshoots, I haven't played the others yet, are definitely worth checking out.
Huh. So, I've never really understood text adventures too much, like. But yeah. I guess the only one I've ever have tried was Zork in Black Ops, when you could break out of the chair and go to the computer and play it.
Yeah, well, Jacob, thanks for sending those in, and get back to the other games you're supposed to review for us instead of writing reviews for shit I didn't give you. You still have 2 more games, so chop fucking chop, you dumb bastard.
Wow.
Next reviews to tell someone, tell Krepter how text adventures work. Well, there's words.
I know how they work, genius. I'm just like, a lot of them are confusing, and it's just like you can type anything. It's like, well, what do I type?
Words.
Yeah.
Next review is actually a triple review from our friend Randall Drew. He covered Mahjong, Tetraminos, and Brick Breaker, all developed and published by Sanic Games on the Wii U. So he covered the Wii U versions of these. Mahjong released October 13th, Tetraminos September 8th, and Brick Breaker September 15th on the Wii U, and each game runs $4.99. CJ, you have that email, so go for it.
All right, well, there's a little bit of talk before the reviews. So I'll chop through that real quick.
Yeah, read it, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna. Finally found the time to take my notes and make a real review out of all of it. Enjoy. Hey, y'all. FloX here, a.k.a. Randall. I did the show's logo, in case you didn't know. But enough about me. Joe asked me to review some games, so let's get to it. We've got 3 games for the Wii U. Tetraminos, Brick Breaker, and Mahjong. All 3 are new takes on some classics and were developed and published by Sanook Games. For the purposes of this review, I only did the single-player modes for each. Mahjong is only single-player. The first one he talks about is Tetraminos. I've not really played a true Tetris game since the original Tetris on the Game Boy when I was a kid, and the Tetris Attack on the SNES. Tetraminos is a fresh take on the original, but pales in comparison to those two highly memorable games. There are new modes, new shapes, and new ways to score and build up bonus points. By way of color comboing and clearing multiple lines, but the core game is still the true classic Tetris.
How is it you suck at reading emails, but you're fine reading your own notes?
Because I know what I said in my own fucking notes. Like, just I look over them to make sure I don't forget anything, but I don't actually read them directly. Not to mention bringing up, like, I used the word pad to expand it, but there's some weird text in here that I don't know what it is. So I should probably just read from the email.
You're the worst.
I'm sorry. You know?
Am I going to have to read these?
I'm going to try. I'm only one man who can't read. So,
man. Yeah, okay.
I'm 18. I'm legal.
Ladies.
All right, I got it. I'm good. I should be able to read. There are three main modes of gameplay. The classic endless mode, where you simply clear lines as the speed continually increases until the game's over. Puzzle mode gives you a limited amount of pieces to complete a wide variety of line-clearing challenges, awarding more stats the faster you complete it. And finally, there is challenge mode, where you clear a number of lines against the clock while speed also increases. It's like endless mode on steroids and really, truly challenging. The music is fairly forgettable, but at least it's fun and energetic. There are also a fairly robotic, uninterested female voiceover for such things as line cleared, bonuses earned, and speed increasing. I opted to turn it off after a while. The visuals and sound effects do their job more than well enough. The next game he talks about, so he didn't give it an actual rating. But okay. The next one is Brick Breaker. Another arcade classic, Brick Breaker features the same grid of bricks and paddles at the bottom of the screen to save and deflect the bouncing ball you are all familiar with, but as you get deeper into the game, the new and more interesting features come out. New bricks that do all sort of crazy things start appearing at later levels, both in terms of multicolor difficulty that must be hit several times to clear, but also as special effect bricks that explode or cause penalties to the paddle. Release more balls, burn through a line of bricks, shrink or expand the size of the paddle, or even the speed of the ball to go up or down. As more and more of these are and unbreakable or shielded bricks start appearing, the game gets super chaotic. The two main modes are classic arcade mode, where you clear pre-made brick shapes, or survival that just keeps going on and on. The music for Brick Breaker is exactly the same as Tetraminos. Exactly. It's a bit disappointing, but not unusual for arcade-style collections. And then, finally, we have a little bit of Mahjong, and this reading is almost over.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know, really. I'm terrible. I've never, ever played Mahjong in any form before, so my first task with this game was learning it. The in-game tutorial was a bit sparse, but after a few attempts, I did manage to figure it out. In its simplest form, it's a tile matching game, but with unique rules that allow for some tiles to match despite being slightly different, but in the same class. Bamboo, flower, seasons, winds, etc. And the tiles are in layers. So if you play your matches too loosely, you'll find yourself out of moves due to uncovered tiles. There's only one mode in Mahjong, and you clear game levels style... What? And you clear games
level style.
Okay, there. With the difficulty of the tile layout increasing with each game. Like Brick Breaker, the layout of the tiles changes as you play more games. The game may seem like a simple click around randomly until they're all gone kind of game, but it is a way humbling you very quickly, and at later levels, you will find yourself considering your moves much more carefully. God. The menu style is similar to the other games, but the music is much more relaxing. There's a bit of a delay at the start of the gameplay music, and for a moment I thought there wasn't any. Then a soft Chinese windpipe-inspired theme starts to play. It's actually pretty nice and helps you focus. My only complaint with the cursor Oh, my only complaint is that the cursor is very hard to see sometimes. It never occurred to me to touch the screen controls until Joe actually said something about it. But they do function, and apparently that puts this version far ahead of the Xbox version. If you can stand to play on the gamepad instead of your TV, that's the way to go. And that's a wrap. If you love classic arcade puzzlers like these, they are worth the super low $4.99 price for the hours of challenge. Just hope that you can put up with listening to the same theme the whole time. Thanks, guys. Hope to do more of these in the future.
Cool beans.
I mean, you know, there's some paragraphs that I didn't struggle as much as others.
Oh, if only you watched the stream.
Ah, I mean, I'm sure I did an amazing, amazing job.
Pretty much.
Exactly. You don't have to deal with this, Nobles. That's one of the reasons he doesn't want to be on the show. Fucking reading shit, dude. Reading aloud is hard, man.
All right, so it looks like three more buyouts for the most part. The $5 price, they might even qualify as fuck it, why not?
I don't know. They're not crazy weird, so.
I know the games are like $9.99 each on Xbox, so it's up to you if you want to do it or not. My biggest gripe with Mahjong was the control, so hearing its touchscreen on the Wii U, I might actually grab it on the Wii U.
Yeah, it's probably a cheaper, better way to go, especially with the
plus touchscreen Mahjong is just fucking awesome.
Yeah, I remember watching Shiz play it, and he was struggling with the controls at times.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, while we're reading off emails, we have another one to read, this time from our friend Eternal Rage once again. She covered King's Quest Chapter 5, The Good Knight. She previously covered Chapter 4 for us, as well as kind of the whole game in general. Chapter 5 surprisingly just released so quickly after Chapter 4, developed by The Odd Gentleman, published by Sierra Games. It released October 25th for $9.99, the full collection of all five episodes, or all chapters, as well as the epilogue is available for $29.99. King's Quest Chapter 5, The Good Knight, looks back on King Graham, now an old man in flashbacks, preparing to go on one last adventure for the kingdom he loves. But as his health deteriorates, can Graham's memory still be trusted? Ooh. Yeah, luckily I'm reading this one.
Yeah, I can't fucking stand it.
Eternal Rage writes, it's been just a few short weeks since Sierra and the Odd Gentlemen's left King's Quest fans out in the cold with Chapter 4, Snow Place Like Home. While episodes for King's Quest have previously been releasing on a five-month-ish cycle, this fifth episode, titled The Good Knight, has already been made available as of October 25th, alongside a physical release of the game. Owners of the complete collection still have an epilogue to look forward to as well. All good things must come to an end, including the reign of good King Graham the Brave, or the Wise, or the Compassionate. Graham's title and memories are dependent upon the choices you made on his behalf in the earlier episodes. These decisions have mostly fallen by the wayside in Chapter 3 and 4, so their return in Chapter 5 was a pleasant surprise. The Good Knight brings us to a point in the story where Graham's health is fading more quickly, and along with it, his memory, but he must continue sharing his stories with his granddaughter, Gwendolyn, in order to pass on his legacy. Determined to prove he is still strong, of strong body and mind, Graham sets out to seek just one more adventure promised to him by the magic mirror. It's during this part of the game where players are given a glimpse into how age is affecting the king. Certain parts of the kingdom of Daventry become washed in white because Graham can no longer remember the details. An early puzzle requires the player to assist Graham to save treasures acquired during his quests from a fire, but with inverted controls to drive home how seemingly simple task is increased in difficulty due to his advanced age. Puzzles in Chapter 5 shine, helping to push the story towards its conclusion while also rekindling fond memories of events not just from previous episodes, but also from the original iterations of the series. This includes two puzzles that present in classic 8 and 16-bit formats, an escape room that sends King Graham back through his former stomping grounds, and a final battle of wits in order to save the entire kingdom. Despite the somber topic, Chapter 5 maintains its sense of humor and self-awareness. King's Quest Chapter 5, The Good Knight, is a bittersweet ending fit for a king. Buy it. So no. I've heard nothing but fantastic stuff about King's Quest. I bought the entire complete series when it first came out, and I think now that the fifth chapter's out, I'm going to sit down and go through the whole thing.
I love that you bought it when it first came out, and the whole thing's been on sale multiple times.
Oh, I know. I just like supporting developers. What are you going to do? You want to fucking fight? You want to fucking fight?
Yeah, sure. You can bring your reading skills.
I'll fucking fight you, you son of a bitch.
So you're going to cut out that part, right, and then read it while I'm gone, and then you're going to, like, cut that one in?
Way too lazy. way too lazy.
I guess that's true.
Man, so we have four more to go through. We're getting there.
Indeed.
We're getting there. Two for me, two for you, so
hey,
shouldn't be as bad. No more reading, thankfully.
Yeah, that's true. We can just like go like one, then me, then you, then me, then you, or you, then me, then me, whatever. You
know. Yeah, we'll start off with Seraph, developed and published by Dreadbit, released November 1st on the PS4 and on Steam for $14.99. Seraph is a super slick, skill-based acrobatic shooter. Take the role of an angel who's mastered the art of gun fu as she battles her way through hordes of twisted demons. This is basically like a super slick 2D version of Bayonetta. If that makes sense, you
awesome.
Are released from being imprisoned for years and years. You're not sure why or what's going on, and you have to figure out what happened. You journey through stage after stage. Kind of the gameplay feels like a level-based Metroidvania because it's all 2D with branching areas. You have to explore everywhere and destroy all the monsters, like the guardians of that level, so that you could progress to the next level. It's not necessarily a Metroidvania because it's not like you're backtracking or anything. It's just the level layout.
So all
it's,
right.
It's not like a straight path. It's an open area level, if that... That's- makes sense. The combat in this game, holy shit, is it good and satisfying. You hold the trigger to shoot, and thankfully there's no aiming, so you just shoot, motherfucker. She's dual wield, so gun in each hand. If there's multiple enemies, she could automatically like start shooting at each one in different directions. You're jumping and leaping and dodging. There are other weapons that you could pick up and shoot along the way. No Pulse has it on Steam. He actually helped me get the soundtrack. We're going to play the music from Seraph at the end of the show. It is just fast-paced, awesome, crazy action. It is such a cool, trippy game. I'm super bummed it's not out on Xbox, and I don't know why. Dreadbit's last game, Ironcast, was on Xbox, so I really don't know why this one... Why they skipped out on it.
Maybe it just hasn't made its way yet.
I hope they're considering it. I really do. Because this game, I would love to play it with my Elite controller and not have to play it with a fucking DualShock.
I've already added this to my cart or my wish list. I want this. I love the way it looks.
It is such... Like, what are your thoughts on looking at it?
It looks fucking sick. And I love the screenshots, especially the one of, like, the huge, like, guardian with the fucking... He's just sitting there, and he's huge, and he has... I don't know. I fucking love boss fights and huge games, and this looks sick. Also, the character kind of looks like if she was a little bit more realistic, maybe an Overwatch character.
She reminded me of Bayonetta in Bayonetta 2. With the shorter hair.
Yeah, obviously shorter hair. I mean, Bayonetta's... Wasn't that her whole thing where her suit was made of her hair?
Well, in Bayonetta 2, her hair was, like, all chopped off.
Oh. Well, I didn't play 2. I've never played 1, actually. I've just seen 1. Oh, no. My cat just jumped up on my Xbox and behind my TV, and she's going to knock that shit off, and I'm going to fucking get pissed.
Nice.
Yeah. She's not a great cat.
On top of all the crazy-ass action, there's actually, like, crafting different weapons and creating different accessories... Tons of different abilities to upgrade. Quote, I didn't play that quote, Corrector.
That's basically everything I've said on the show.
I love how he just shit talks you constantly.
Well, that's because he's an ass.
Yeah, the game is just insane. Side scrolling, platforming, shooting the fuck out of everything. Just nonstop action, and it's satisfying. And the music is so goddamn good in this game. It is so good.
I wish screenshots had sounds so I could hear it.
Well, there are trailers.
Yeah, but I can't listen to that and be on the show.
Bitch,
I wouldn't hear anything you're saying.
Bitch. So yeah, $15, absolutely, definitely buy this one. I believe on Steam it's actually $12.99 instead of $14.99, so even better there.
Yep, it is actually on Steam.
Sousa, thanks for hanging out and chatting with us. I will be sure to send your prize code to you when the show is over. But yeah, Seraph, definitely buy it. Awesome game. And Dreadbit, if you're listening to this, please bring it to the Xbox, because the game is baller and no one should be missing out on this.
Yeah, I'd love to play it. Play it anywhere, honestly. If I had a PlayStation 4, I would just play it.
No, I'm going to.
Anywhere. Oh, I'd play it on a Wii U if it was there.
True. It's worth playing no matter where you get it. Next game to chat about is called... This is a fun title. Professor Nasty Time, the Stupidly Unfair Test Simulator 2016.
Yeah.
How's that for a title? Developed and published by Barkalar Games. It released September 11th on Steam for $2.99. Created by Professor Nasty, Pip-Pip must pass an extremely difficult test of life. With over 70 rage-inducing levels full of tough obstacles and traps, this test simulator is bound to offer an unforgettable challenge. Do you have what it takes to complete the simulation and raise the dangers? CJ, I'm going to guess you don't, but no. Let's hear.
All right, well, Professor Nasty Time, the Stupidly Unfair Test Simulator 2016, or as shortened, PNT:TSUTS 2016, is a stupidly unfair 2D platformer. This game even says so in the title. The goal is to get through each level while dodging very difficult hazards. Needless to say, this isn't possible, and it's not for everybody. The game's main focus is humor, which it does well. I do enjoy it. Every time you die, text comes up mocking you in some way. One of the various text screens that shows up says something along the lines of, "Reviewers that give this game a negative review because it's difficult are lame noobs." I honestly found most of the death messages funny, or at the very least, I smiled at them. One of the things this game does, or I don't know, it's just like it's so weird and so hard, but yet it throws such funny things at you that you can't be mad at it. It's just... The game says it's going to make you rage, but for me, I cannot I can't rage at a game that's supposed to make you rage because it's like it's obviously supposed to be impossible. I get mad at things that I know I can do it, but I fail. This I knew I couldn't do it, so it didn't bother me that I wasn't doing it. I didn't even beat one level. Like, the first level is impossible. Now, I gave up on it because I did pretty much everything, and I died due to an unfair obstacle, obviously, because it's the stupidly unfair test. Okay. So I'll explain what happened. Basically, there is two spikes on the bottom and then one above it, and you have to jump in between these spikes, and you can't touch the ground the entire time. Once you get past that, which you have to make a V-shape by using your double jump, so jump past the first spike, now you're in between the two, but you can't touch the ground because the spike is still on the ground, so you actually have to jump again, but not hit your head on the spike above it. So it's not great. So first you do that. That's like, all right, thank you. Now it looks like it's just a double jump to the end platform. But of course it's not, because when you jump, there's a spike that'll shoot up from the ground and kill you. So, but you can't see that yet. And so now, as an unfair obstacle... you jump into it, and then you have to jump back. And I did that. I finally managed to do that. That took me like 15 minutes to finally get to that point. And you had to do the level each time over again, so you don't get like a checkpoint. So I had to redo the stupid double jump in the middle, and then jump forward, jump back, and hope that I didn't get hit by the flying spike. And then you got to then here's where it gets really great. You double jump to the end platform. And, you know, it looks safe. It's like, thank you, I'm finally at the end. A tree that looked like it was in the background fell and hit me. it's like, what?
So this is one of those impossible frustration games.
Yeah.
Kind of like, definitely. I want to be the guy or Boshi or stuff like that. And, games are hard, words are hard, reading is hard.
Life is hard.
I want to take a second to read one of the reviews on the Steam page. This game is a pile of shit. Only those who like to hammer nails into their balls can handle and love a game like this. Spent the whole time trying to get past spiky jump part. So frustrating. You think they give you some hope before completely fucking you over.
And it, even once I died by that tree that was out of nowhere, it basically RKO'd me. Once I died, it gave me a picture of what I can only assume is a developer with a rage face on him.
That's fantastic.
This game is fantastic. The game is also a bit meme-ish, so excuse me if I meme for a bit while talking about Harambe. And what I mean is that, yes, Harambe is actually in this game.
Jesus Christ.
A meme which I thought was finally dying, but I guess I was wrong. The music is also pretty lit, fam. All right, I'll stop memeing now. the game also includes
fucking...
I know you're mad about it, but I had to. I mean, Harambe was listed. How could I not? The game also includes a free play mode, which is why I was able to play more than the first level, because you can actually choose any level and just play it, rather than having to beat each level in order when you play the free play mode. And in a game like this, I can truly appreciate that, because... I couldn't handle having to fuck
it. Does it let you play any level or just the ones that you've beaten?
Any level, because I hadn't beaten any, and I was able to go to any level in the free play mode. You can't unlock any achievements or do anything like that in the free play mode, though.
How well did you do?
Oh, you know, I didn't beat any.
Shocking.
This game is... Yeah, you play it, Joe. You fucking play it and get past that stupid tree.
Well, gift it to me. I'll try it.
I'm not going to gift it to you. Ask the developer to gift it to you.
It's only $3. Gift it to me.
I don't have $3. And speaking of which, this game isn't going to win any beauty contests, but what can you expect for $2.99? Although I do like that the game will sometimes randomly spawn messages in the cloud. That's a nice touch, like LOL or a Lenny face just coming by.
What the fuck is a Lenny face?
You've never seen the Lenny face? You got to look it up. I can't explain it. It's just a fucking face. It's like an emoji, but you can't actually. I don't know. You got to look it up. It's stupid. Hey, maybe Nopulse will put it in the chat for you so you'll see it.
November 1st, new easy mode. Hello, gamers. Months ago during Professor Nasty Time's development, came with the idea to implement an easy mode into the game for those who were not used to playing these kinds of games, but I never decided to. However, I recently decided to start working on the process of implementing the feature into the game since I'm a nice guy, and since some people don't seem to know the difference between giving feedback and just plain complaining about Professor Nasty Time, the stupidly unfair Test Simulator 2016 being a difficult challenge. To play the game in the new easy mode, you'll have to start a new game and choose the option at the end of the training course levels. However, don't think for one second easy mode won't still offer difficult gameplay. Update features, our new easy mode, and more Steam achievements. So there you go.
Yeah, I didn't actually play that. I decided to go into normal mode. I was given the option. I was like, fuck it, I'm going into normal mode. That's how it's meant to be played. Because I knew it was like easy mode. Are you a sissy? So I went with the normal mode to not feel bad about myself, even though I wasn't able to beat anything.
Terrible.
Honestly, you aren't going to be spending too much time on the game because you will soon realize that it is 99% impossible. But you may enjoy the humor, and plus it's only $2.99. I mean, really, it's $2.99. So with that being said, I have to give it the most clean rating I can of fuck it, why not?
Makes sense.
I mean, what else can you give a game that's called Professor Nasty Time, the stupidly unfair Test Simulator 2016?
No pulse in chat. Oh shit, Seraph is 11:24 if you have PlayStation Plus. Did I miss you saying that? No, I didn't say that because I didn't realize it was on sale. Because I didn't really look at the PlayStation store this week. So there you go. Seraph is on sale for $11.24 on PlayStation 4 if you're a PS Plus member for the next couple of days ish.
Maybe. Depends.
Yeah. So, did you see the message that Shadow Warrior 2 displays if you want to play easy difficulty?
No, I've never.
Because, you know, you're mentioning the game makes fun of you. Shadow Warrior, its description for easy difficulty is: this difficulty level is for people who don't feel like they need to prove anything to themselves or anyone else. Playing Shadow Warrior 2 on easy is perfectly fine if by the end of an exhausting day, all you need to do is feel like a goddamn superhero.
Huh, that doesn't mock you at all. That makes you feel good about playing it.
That's fucking awesome.
You know, I actually played that game on normal twos, and I didn't look at, like, the descriptors. Yeah. I should.
Saw that on Reddit where it's like Shadow Warrior 2 understands why people play on easy. Yeah, I just want to feel like a goddamn superhero.
I mean, the Wolfenstein game, if you play it on easy, you actually get a picture of your character wearing with a
fucking baby bonnet.
Yeah, and a binky in his mouth.
Oh, man. All right, next game to chat about is called Creepy Castle, developed by Doptera, published by Nicalis, released October 31st on Steam for $14.99. A conspiracy is welling deep within the stone walls of an ancient castle. The Keep's master is leading its denizens to construct a revolutionary new device made to move the world forward onto a new path of evolution. I really don't get the story of this one so far. I have not beaten the game, but I am quite a bit into it. It feels a lot like a Metroidvania game, but there's like no real backtracking to it yet, at least. I know that the developers have talked about adding a fast travel system into it. It is all, for the most part, level-based. Plays on a 2D plane. The graphics look straight out of, like, the fucking Spectrum or like an Atari. These are like super, super old school visuals, like pre-NES style visuals. And it works really well. It really does. The best thing about the visuals is that they give you a handful of different visual options in the game. So you can have like the overscan look to it, which I turned off. And then they have ways that you can adjust the pixel movement in the game where everything kind of like jumps block by block by block, or you can turn on smooth movement, which I did, and it plays like a dream that way. I absolutely love it. Gameplay is basically 2D walking around. There's no jumping to it. There are battles, and the big draw of this game is all the different ways that you can have battles. You walk up next to an enemy, and then you could hit the A button to attack them. Every now and then, instead of just attacking each other, it'll go into like a separate duel-style mode, where a handful of different mini-games will play out. There could be something where you're standing on opposite sides of the screen, and you'll see something pop up in the middle, and you have to hit the A button, or Z on the keyboard, whatever you're using. And it's kind of like a quick draw game where depending on who activates it first, they get the attack in. Or, you know, if you get a perfect on it, you'll do like double damage. There's ones where, you know, you have to wiggle the analog stick back and forth. There's ones where it's kind of like just follow the prompts at the bottom, like up, down, left, right, hitting the action buttons. And if you do it fast enough, you'll get the attack in. If you do it slow enough, the gauge will push your way and they'll get the attack in. There's just so many cool, interesting, different mini games in here to keep battles fresh and interesting. Which I think is cool as hell, because it's definitely a good way to keep you playing. There are tons and tons and tons and tons of levels in this game. A lot of people might balk at the $15 price, but there's hours upon hours of play in here, going through the different castles, repeating the castles, going back, finding hidden secrets, finding Easter egg, like literal hidden Easter eggs in the game, like actual eggs are hidden in the game. Do not let the visuals of this game turn you off. because the gameplay is fantastic. The replayability is fantastic. The amount of content in the game is fantastic. The battles keep things fresh and interesting, although I think the analog stick wiggling one is a bit hard, but I think they're addressing that soon. And the humor, it is a funny game. It's just an overall goofy title, and please do not let the visuals turn you off on this one. I'm giving Creepy Castle a buy it, and I hope that Doptera and Nicalis decide to bring this one to console, because it is a cool little indie game, and I hope that it finds love out there. I think a lot of people are going to be turned off by the artistic direction of the game, but it's a huge mistake.
Damn, that's actually kind of what, I don't know, just made me double take at it. It seemed like it was such an old school game, but
yeah, it's actually a really, really fun game. It's fantastic, and I can't wait to dive back into it. So, Nicalis guys, I wonder if it's Nicalis or Nicholas. I've heard people say Nicholas.
I mean, I'd say Nicalis is probably more correct.
I've probably been fucking up spelling forever, but yeah, Nicalis guys, if you're listening, let's make this happen on console. Please. Please. Final game to talk about this week is called Death God University, developed and published by Green Ice Games, released October 14th for $9.99. DGU is a third-person 3D adventure puzzle game where the player plays as a student of the Death God University, studying to become a Death God assistant. CJ, this one's all you.
Indeed it is. So DGU is a third-person puzzle game with the objective being to kill people who have done something wrong, in a way. All of the people you kill are pulp culture references, like Miley, who is endangering the world by twerking so hard it causes earthquakes.
Oh, Christ.
Or the Flasher, and as you can guess, he runs around the park flashing people. The gameplay is pretty simplistic. You navigate through different areas on your map that you can fast travel to, and depending on the target you have, the places will have items that you need to pick up or use, and these items are used to kill the target in some way, or at least allow you to craft an item that you can kill the target with. Now, this game doesn't actually have any action. It is all a matter of placing things and picking things up and crafting them. So while you walk around, you just press A and you do things, and you gotta watch out, because if you too many people see you placing these items in traps, they'll be alerted, and you can fail by not having a good enough grade. So you have to be careful about what you're doing. So it's kind of a stealth-ish game in a way as well. The crafting is really easy and simple. All you gotta do is pick up items, and then you press X, and then you just sit around with it. If you just spam A, eventually something will happen with the items you have, but it's pretty easy to figure out which goes with what. There's a few different areas on the map to explore, including a park, construction site, a church, and an airport, and they each have a nighttime version of them as well. So sometimes you'll have to do it at night, and the items will only be there in the nighttime version of it. So you gotta go there and do it then. Some of the items you pick up start a mini game, and some of them are fun, others are tedious and take too long. There was one mini game in particular, which was a hacking game, that was infuriating. It was somewhat like a top-down Tron, where you had to avoid touching walls but get to the end. The problem is that it is so twitchy that pressing on a direction on the stick sometimes causes it to spaz out and do a complete 180, or just go in a completely different direction than what I pressed. And you couldn't use the D-pad for it. You had to use the analog stick. It's incredibly infuriating. That mini game was the worst. Another one that was kind of tedious was just the pill game, because you had to organize 15 pills into the right color, but the pills fall from the sky, and there's a blue pill jar and a red one, and if it's a blue pill, you gotta move it over and make it fall into the blue one. If it's a red one, you know, the same thing. But it went too slow. It was there was no challenge to it. It was just literally move it in that direction, now wait a few seconds while it falls to the ground. The humor in this game seems to be the selling point, but it was very hit and miss. This is mainly due to the fact that the game is a bit dated now. It released over a year ago on Steam, and some of the people that it makes fun of are kind of irrelevant or have been done to death.
Yeah.
Like there was a very prominent Justine B. Beer mission, which calls him a girl and generally makes fun of his music, which is totally hasn't been done a shit ton of times for the past 5 to 10 years.
Never.
It's kind of old. I don't know. That one kind of... It's too much.
Are you a Bieber fan?
No, I'm definitely not.
Are you upset because you're a Bieber fan?
No, I'm not, I swear. No,
oh,
I
just... CJ, it's okay.
You're not gonna let me say no. You're gonna be like, oh, you're a Bieber fan, aren't you?
It's okay, no. Buddy. It's okay.
No, anyway, no, it's an old thing. Kinda like, I don't know, it's just eh. Whereas another one that was pretty funny was like Harry being based off of Harry Potter, who was expelled from his school and forced to sell magic unicorn poop, which acts as a drug in normal people. I guess you could call him Harry Pothead. Hey, laugh at my damn joke.
No, I'm good.
There's also people like Hulk, baby, who's Hulk
baby,
Hogan.
Baby.
You're not making it any better. The design of the game is all right. I like the environments, but there's noticeable clipping on certain objects. Like, there was an object in the one store on the airport that was just kind of poking right out of the wall of the store. And it was just, okay.
Interesting.
It's just some things that are, like, I don't know. They could have been fixed within probably a minute or so, but just didn't. But at least they did a good job portraying the pop culture references, so you knew who they were even before you were told. And I do like that all the things kind of make sense or kind of fit to who that character is. Like Hulk Hogan being bothered by unicorns is fucking hilarious. And it's so crazy. I'd say that the biggest problem with this game was the loading times, which were absolutely atrocious. Like, minutes.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes. Yeah. Especially when you first load into the game. It can run over a minute to get into the game. Yeah, the loading times are really bad. But, I mean, once you get into the game, it's a fun little experience. I think the only reason the loading times really bothered me was the fact that you're going around different places searching for these items, and there's a loading screen in between each place. Like, you kind of fast travel to the church and then you fast travel to the park, so it's like, to have a loading screen in between all of those areas that takes so long.
Well, maybe you should walk instead of fast traveling everywhere.
Well, you can't walk. It's literally, you have to travel to these places. Like, you can't just walk on the streets.
Well, you could always fire up some Bieber to listen to while you're waiting.
I'm not going to like you in a minute.
In a minute? It took you this long?
You know, you were standable before today.
Tolerable? Overall, tolerable? Is that the word you're looking for?
Standable is a word.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I could stand you. I could stand you, or you were tolerable. You're terrible.
I'm just going to read the rest of my review, which is almost over.
Go for it.
Overall, I'd say try it. The price of $9.99 is very fair, but the game is very hit and miss. All right, it's over. That was the end.
Or, if you're not too sure about it, we got 3 copies of the game to give away, which I will be announcing on our Twitters probably over the weekend. So stay tuned there, and we'll have more information on that. But the gist, you know the gist of it. Shoot us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us why you would want Death God University. And you could win a copy, because we got 3 of them to give away.
Alternatively, you could also just tell us the best way you've murdered somebody. That could also get you a win. I mean,
maybe they're in jail.
Yeah, there's Xboxes in jail. I mean, come on.
Or if you want, you could email us again, thesmlpodcast. Don't forget the. A lot of people forget that part. It's thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. And you could also possibly win a copy of Horse Racing 2016.
Yeah, that game's a real winner.
Because we still have a copy of Horse Racing 2016 to give away.
You know what? It's a really easy 1,000 gamer score. I finished it. So, you know.
So, take that at what you wants it? Who wants it?
No, Nikki Baby wants the horse race.
Nikki Baby probably wants Horse Racing 2016.
And then No Pulse wanted to review it, but he didn't get the chance, so you might want to give it to him.
So yeah, I guess that is the episode for tonight. It has been wonderful having you all hang out with us and chat with us and all that fun stuff. Music this week is going to be from the game Seraph. Shout out to No Pulse for the assist on getting that one, since he had the game on Steam and was able to get the soundtrack, since they don't have it available any other way at this time. Like, come on, guys. Come on, Dreadbit. Throw it on Bandcamp or something. Shit's bananas. But CJ, man, you got any final words for the week?
Oh, I was going to send us off with a Justin Bieber song, but I really don't know any besides Baby. So, I mean, there's your final words. I'm lame.
We know.